There are several sayings that I think each one of us has that you've learned throughout your life, and you keep remembering them in different contexts. One of the sayings that I regularly bump into inside my head is a saying by Thomas Merton, who's one of the, he was a great monk, died in the 70s. Merton once said, "One of the greatest treasons is to do the right thing for the wrong reason." One of the greatest treasons is to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Today, I have to talk to you about finances. But whenever I talk about finances, I always remind myself that I'm looking at it from a particular perspective that I think it's important that you know about. Because if I talk to you just about finances without giving you the reasoning behind it, I might be encouraging you to give for the wrong reasons. And so allow me to just begin by telling you very quickly what the financial issue is, but then to go into the background of the financial issue that I'm going to be talking to you about. The financial issue is this. About 3 months ago, in this complex, there are two main air conditioning units that one manages the classroom building and the other one manages the rectory and this building, the church. About 3 months ago, I got the news that one day when the air conditioning or heating, one of the two, had gone out, and they called the air conditioning people, they said to us, it's dead. One of the main, it's called a chiller, and please understand, I don't know anything about air conditioning or stuff like that. I just know people called it a chiller. And they said, not only that, not only has it gone out, but we investigated, and the connection from the chiller to the pipes that feed the classroom building, which are all underground, underneath the playground, and they go all the way across the quadrangle, and they go all the way to the front of the building. All of those pipes are full of leaks, and they're rotting because they're almost, you know, they're as old as that building is. And that building was built, I think, in the 60s or something like that. So anyway, I sighed. I went, okay. I could tell that this was not going to be pretty. And once we got the estimates in, it wasn't pretty. The estimates came out to be about $300,000. My heart sank when I heard that, because it's one of those things that you can't, that building over there is useless, totally useless without heating or air conditioning. And the pipes were also going to be affected sooner or later because we would have had no bathrooms. So imagine a building with no air conditioning in Houston and no heating and no bathrooms. You talk about a useless structure. That's a useless structure. So anyway, the long and the short of it is that thanks be to God, years ago, together with the pastoral council and the finance council, we have been putting away money into savings for a long time. So our savings was not a great amount. We had, now it sounds like, you know, when we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, it sounds like a lot. But when you're talking about buildings this size, it's not a lot. We had in the bank $350,000, thanks be to God. And we've been saving the $350,000 for a rainy day. Well, folks, it poured. It just poured. And so thanks be to God. Right now, the issue is almost fixed. We decided not to bring it to you during Lent. It's not a very Lenten thing to do. You know, it's a time, a holy time of preparation. So I decided to wait until now. If you've been in the classroom building in the last few weeks, you may have noticed that there's no air conditioning in many rooms. And that's because they had to replace pipes everywhere. Everywhere. And instead of digging up the pipes underneath the building, which they would have had to undig from underneath the playground all the way to the front, they bypassed it and went through the building on the top floor and were able to do a very good job of it. The pipes are all done and ready to go. The new chiller is going to be here next week, and it'll take about a week to install. And so we should be back and running. But say a prayer for the other chiller, because right now she's chilling away. And that's what we wanted to do for at least a couple more years, to chill away on it. So the issue, right, is this, that if you listen to the gospel gives us a mission. And the mission is, and if you listen to it from last week and this week, last week Jesus appears to the disciples and he says, I give you the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven, whose sins you shall retain are retained. And then this week, Jesus appears to the disciples, and in the person of Simon Peter, notice, and this is kind of interesting because Simon Peter negated and rejected Jesus three times around a charcoal fire. And this time, the gospel opens up, and there's another charcoal fire, and Jesus singles out Peter. And he says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he doesn't just do that once. He does it three times. I think consciously, and Peter, I think, by the time it was over, Peter would have known what Jesus was doing. Jesus is basically rehabilitating Peter, reminding Peter of his impetuous, oh yes, Lord, you know I love you. If you remember the night before Jesus was arrested, Peter says, oh Lord, I'm ready to die for you. And then Peter, well, I don't know the guy. You know, so Jesus is reminding Peter that it's not that easy to be his disciple. But notice every time Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Notice he gives him a command. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. So in the next week or two, you're going to be hearing Jesus' further commands to the church. And you have to remember that for us as church, and I'm talking about us, you in your way and me in mine as a pastor, the bishop, you know, the pope, all of us, we have a mission. The mission is to help all of you become and be transformed into disciples of Jesus. We're supposed to, if you listen even to the gospel today, what does it mean to feed my lambs or to tend to my sheep? It doesn't just mean, well, just have mass and then send you home. You know, I always enjoy Father Scott. When Father Scott said, several years ago, because he's good, Father Scott is, I learned a lot from Father Scott about, you know, because he used to do, raise money for churches professionally. But he said something that made sense to me. He said, because just as a background, every time I have to talk about money to the congregation, I hate it. Because I'd rather be talking to you about other stuff. But Father Scott said, look, if you ever go to a church and they never ask you for money, that's because they're not doing anything. They're not doing anything. This church could be run on a very slim budget if we did nothing. If we didn't feed, if we didn't have classes, if we didn't have programs, if we didn't have retreats, if we didn't have all kinds of meetings and all kinds of stuff for people, we could run it on a skeleton. But we can't do that. Why? Because we've been given a mission. And the mission is what our job description is. And the job description is that we are to do our best in all, and you guys know that the moment you open up the bulletin, you see from front to back, constant, all kinds of different programs, programs that you can come to, programs that you can hook up to at home on the internet, all kinds of programs for old people, for young people, for kids, for everything. And that's what we do. But we need a building that's useful in order to do that. And without heating, air conditioning, or bathrooms, we're dead in the water. We're just dead in the water. And so, as I said to you, thanks be to God that we had been saving and we were able to pay for it. But our savings have been wiped out. I mean, I think we have like $30,000 or $40,000 in the bank. Now that may sound big to you, but trust me, you know, it isn't for a place like this. I was at the seminary and I was sitting there talking to the rector of the seminary. And the seminary, I don't know if you've ever seen it in Houston, it's beautiful. It's like 10 buildings to it. And I was singing to him my woes of finances and having to go before the parish. And he said, don't talk to me about it. He has exactly the same condition that he has to replace the chillers for all of the seminary to the tune of $12 million. Okay? So when he said that to me, I went, I can live with that. So, but you know, the cardinal has all the churches to draw from. Just trust me, this is where he's going to get it, from all the 150 churches. So anyway, that's where we're at. We have a mission. We had a rainy day fund. It poured, and I can guarantee you that we're going to get another rainy day. I can guarantee it. Sooner or later, there will be another rainy day. And that's where I really would like to ask your help. Look, right now, I think I've said this to you before. Do you know what our debt to the diocese is? Zero. We do not owe anyone any money at all. And I want to keep it that way. I want to keep it that way because what I want to do is I want to use every red cent that the money that we get for retreats and for education and for all kinds of the stuff that we do. But in order to do that, we need to rebuild our rainy day fund. We just need to rebuild it. So, having said that, we're launching a kind of a mini capital campaign. And the mini capital campaign is called More Than Bricks. More Than Bricks. To remind us about the functionality of a building and the need that we have to do ministry in a building that's more than bricks. What we're asking you to do, and you should see, those of you who get envelopes should have seen a More Than Bricks envelope. It's going to come up twice per month. And we're going to try and do it over a 2-year period, and we're going to pray very hard, especially that the chiller goes at least for 2 more years. Okay? I think it will. And we're going to try and replace that rainy day fund that we had, which we have used now. And so what I'm asking every adult, is twice a month we're going to have we're not going to be having the capital repairs offering that we've had in the past. What we are going to have is the More Than Bricks offering, which is that mini capital campaign. I'm asking each adult, if possible, please, to give at least $5 every other week. Now, if you think about it, that's $2.50 a week. Now, if you can do more, I'd sure appreciate it. Okay? But $2.50 a week, $5 every 2 weeks. Now we know, whenever we do this, we know that probably about 40 to 50% of the people we ask do it and the rest don't. We don't go around. I want you to understand, I have never, ever gone into the parish records to see how much any of you contributes. I just take it as a lump sum, and we do what we can, what we get. Okay, but I'm asking you to help us because we have a mission, and if we don't have a rainy day fund, what's going to happen next time is we're going to have to go into debt, and I don't want to do that. I don't want us to be having to pay interest on a loan because that's what we would have to do in order to do that. So I hope I communicated that to you. It's not going to start today. It starts next week. It's going to be twice per month. But remember why we're doing it. Remember how I started. We don't want to do the right thing for the wrong reason. We're doing it. It's the right thing. And the reason is because we have a mission. And the mission is to make sure that we continue to do the best that we can to give you opportunities for you to grow in your discipleship of Jesus. And for us to do that, we need a working plant in order to be able to host the activities that we do. So, thank you very much for listening, and I appreciate your attention.